You know, ever since I started this podcast, people have been asking for advice. Usually it's what team to bet on this week. You got Patriots or Steelers? Chicago or Detroit? Well, let me tell you this. Where you're betting at is just as important as who you're betting on. So that's why I always tell people to go to mybookie.ag. MyBookie has been in the business for years, and their rep is rock solid. They do 100% cash bonuses, so off the bat you're making money for doing nothing. And they have the fastest payouts. Seriously, just 2 business days. You know who's going to win, right? Lay down some cash and win big today. You are listening to an NFL season preview. 12-4 season 4 of the Kansas City Chiefs, who earn the second seed in the AFC and a first round bye. But they were one and done as they lost to the Pittsburgh Steelers in a close game. They did all that without Jamaal Charles and without Justin Houston. 2 Pro Bowlers, or former Pro Bowlers. Houston, another guy that's in the comeback player of the year conversation. You know he's going to come back with double-digit sacks, or I shouldn't say you know, but I expect him to come back to that type of productivity. The Chiefs on the defensive end, they signed D-tackle Benny Logan. They drafted DN. To know Kapasignan. He's a good player. Pronounce his name or not, he can get to the quarterback. He can get some pressure in the backfield. They also drafted Kareem Hunt, who will be starting in the backfield after the injury to Spencer Ware. The Chiefs last season tied for the most return touchdowns in football with 3, but they may have to do that again without Tyreek Hill's contributions on special teams, as he is now inserted as the number one receiver on the offense. The emergence of Dee Ford off the edge and his 10-sack season, well, that helps for anybody, but man, he'll be rotating with Justin Houston and Tamaha Lee, so the Chiefs' pass rush, it's not going to miss a beat. It won't. And on the back end, Marcus Peters tied for 2nd in picks with 6 on the year, and the defense tied with the highest turnover ratio. Well, the team overall with the highest turnover ratio of plus 16. Highest in football. Phenomenal job. They take care of the ball and they force turnovers. The middle of the season, it poses some tough matchups for the Chiefs. Not going to lie. But they're a tough team. They stick to a simple game plan. They lean on the defense. They have great special teams. Alex Smith is heady. He will be conservative with the football, and they're going to run the ball. So don't expect them to be out of their element, even though they're facing tough competition in the middle of the season, which gets tough again at the end of the season, the final month. So that those first 8 games, the Chiefs are going to have to come out firing and picking up some W's because they're in arguably the toughest division in the AFC West. Oakland Raiders also had a dozen wins, 12-4 record. Also made the playoffs, also were one and done as they lost to the Texans. It didn't help that Derek Carr went down to injury on Donald Penn's first and only sack allowed in 2016. Nonetheless, we move on. And so what the Silver and Black did was pick up the native running back, that is Marshawn Lynch. So look for beast mode to be activated in the black hole this season. And they also picked up an under-the-radar move here, tight end Jared Cook. That's a vertical threat down the middle of the field, which already has beast mode and an elite wide receiver tandem in Amari Cooper, who a lot of people believe who's going to take a leap forward and become a top 5 wideout, and Michael Crabtree on the other side. The Raiders drafted defense, Gerrion Conley. He should be thrust into the starting lineup at some point. Safety Obi Melifonwu. And starting middle linebacker Markell Lee, and starting defensive tackle Andy Vanderdoss. Raiders focused on that side of the ball, but I have to tell you, despite their defensive liabilities in 2016, they tied with the Chiefs for the highest turnover ratio at positive 16. Granted, that's the whole team in general taking care of the ball, but also including forced turnovers, which is what the Raiders did, which is overlooked. You look at the statistics between the Chiefs and the Raiders, yeah, the Chiefs they have some years on the Raiders as far as pedigree, what they earned defensively, their sack totals. But you see it right there. They forced turnovers. So that gap may be closing defensively between the Raiders and the Chiefs. And Khalil Mack, the defensive player of the year, the reigning DPOY. Can he be stopped? No, but you can only hope to contain him. And they got him a lot of help on that side of the ball. I'm not saying they're going to be great on the defensive side of the ball, but I do expect them to force some turnovers, and I expect them, kind of like Peyton Manning's Colts or Drew Brees' Saints, Derek Carr's got the defense that can complement him perfectly. The only tough part on the Raiders' schedule is December, the final months, when they're going to be positioning for a higher seed, even a bye. I think the Raiders and the Chiefs, they're both going to be in that playoff picture, and I think they both make it yet again. We might even see a third team from the AFC West make the postseason, but that's if they don't all pick each other apart. Denver Broncos, 9-7 season. A lot of people think they fell off. I know they have a new coaching regime. Maybe they think they fell off inside closed doors, but they only missed out on the postseason by one game. Unlike Carolina, who did fall off. But a new coaching staff, apparently that means they feel that the last coaching staff didn't take them to a level that they could have achieved. So here we go, Vance Joseph, the new guy in, but he has some experienced coordinators on both sides, which will definitely help, so I don't expect much of a drop-off, if any. The Broncos drafted Garrett Bowles. He will play left tackle on that blind side for Trevor Siemian, who won the quarterback job again. And if you didn't see the news, Brock Osweiler, cut by the Browns, actually re-signed with the Broncos. But I do think Trevor Siemian is the best quarterback of the three. I think he deserves his fair shot. He wasn't that bad as a rookie. Remember, he was a rookie last season. And it's Von Miller. When isn't it Miller time? Finished second in sacks with 13.5. Second in MVP voting, excuse me, but second in Defensive Player of the Year voting to his rival, Khalil Mack. He gets after it. I think Von Miller is going to win Defensive Player of the Year this time around after getting close, not once, but in two seasons in a row. On the other side, they drafted DeMarcus Walker, who should rotate in, behind Shane Ray, who is coming off an 8-sack season. Apparently, he learned just enough from DeMarcus Ware before he hung it up. Denver's D allowed the fourth fewest points per game last season. They have the no-fly zone in that secondary, and that surely helps. I mean, they must feel very strong about the other three guys and maybe the guy stepping in now at safety to release a three-time Pro Bowler in T.J. Ward so late in the offseason. Nonetheless, the Broncos, they'll start the year with a favorable schedule and end the year, not necessarily schedule, but positional matchups. It's, you know, around average, and they do have above-average wide receivers and a phenomenal defense. But middle of the season, they might, you know, step in some mud. That's where their struggles are going to come, the middle weeks. And I want to say they're going to be in that playoff picture come December because of their defense alone. That defense is great. It's probably still top five in most of your eyes. I think it takes a slight step back, only slightly, to still be as top seven, maybe top 10 defense, but good enough to make the postseason, good enough to where Von Miller doesn't have to do everything on his own. But Trevor Siemian is going to have to step up, and so is that backfield. I'm not sure I can trust Jamal Charles. I think he may be done. CJ Anderson, I'm not impressed. So before I'm going to call out Trevor Siemian, I'm going to call out the backfield and their lack of productivity. But I think the Broncos will be in the picture in December, at least at the beginning, before they eventually fall out. San Diego Chargers. This might be the most improved team on both sides of the ball. They added three new offensive linemen. They drafted Mike Williams in the first round. And that's a nice tandem he forms with Keenan Allen. Not to forget Tyrell Williams last year. In his second year, he went off for 1,000 yards. They still, I know he's on the trade block, have Dontrell Inman, who had an 800-yard campaign, filling in for Allen. And they have Travis Benjamin, who's a deep threat. He has the speed. They have a ton of weapons. They have Antonio Gates, who is still producing, and he doesn't have to play all the time. He doesn't have to be the main target all the time because they have Hunter Henry, who is grooming, who played pretty well as a rookie. On the defensive end, everyone's falling in love with Joey Bosa, and I get it. So am I. Joey Bosa is the man. He's lining up next to Brandon Mebane, who's got a ring, who's a veteran, who knows how to play. He's a leader on this defense. Melvin Ingram, they're hoping, takes another step forward. Denzel Perryman, he gets hurt again, I know, yet again, as has been the case with Chargers linebackers in recent memory. At the very least, if this team is good enough, he's only out the first half of the season. So if they need a playoff run and they need some injection come mid-season down the line, Perryman might provide that. What I'm in love with on this team is their cornerback tandem. And again, it's a matter of health. Jason Verrett, high draft pick. He's been nicked up. But if he can stay on the field, he showed enough. He showed enough. And he's playing alongside Casey Hayward. I love the signing when they snagged him away from Green Bay. He comes in to San Diego. I know they moved to LA now. But last season, Hayward led the league with 7 interceptions. Phillip Rivers, I know he had the 5th most passing yards. And yes, it was in spite of all the injuries around him. He didn't have the greatest O-line. He didn't have his number one wide receiver. Gates got nicked up. But at least Melvin Gordon came through to compliment him in the offense. The thing that hurt the Chargers was Rivers got a little impatient. It is what it is. It's not all on Rivers. In fact, it's probably only half on Rivers. The play calling wasn't that great. Rivers, yeah, a little bit of him gunslinging, trying to do too much with not a lot of time to throw. Because he led the league in turnovers of all quarterbacks. But, I mean, this team, the first half of the season, if not brutal, it's very challenging. So they're going to have to get through that. And if they can, it eases up in the middle of the season to about average matchups for both sides of the ball, all units across the board. Come the final month of the season, it's a favorable schedule, and there's favorable matchups for them to take advantage. And I do think they'll be in the playoff hunt come December, so they may be able to hurdle over teams like the Broncos, the Ravens even, perhaps the Bengals, and the Dolphins, and the Titans. So those are the teams that we expect to see come December in the playoff picture, shuffling between 6 and 10 or 6 and 11, fighting for those last two spots. I think the Chargers will be in that picture, but missing out. Join now and MyBookie will match your deposit with up to a 100% bonus. Use promo code CODE to activate the offer. Visit MyBookie.ag today. You play, you win, you get paid.